2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read the whole chapter and look at a couple of verses at the tail end of the chapter. But I want you to see the setting before we look at the text. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Very strong direction. Don't try and become like them. Don't try and conform to them. Don't try and adopt their method of life to try and win them. Turn from them. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I might also add, there certainly are plenty of silly men to go along with that group. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Just a brief comment about the setting. Timothy, as you know, or perhaps have heard, was a young man whom the Apostle Paul took under his wing, so to speak, and trained him up, taught him how to become a pastor and a preacher, and took him with him on many missionary tours. And so when he's talking here about, you saw firsthand what I had to endure. Timothy was there with him. He saw it and observed it. And Paul took him as a son and taught him and worked with him and taught him the Scriptures. Well, things aren't going real well where Timothy was the pastor. He was facing some difficulty, some hardship. There were thieves coming in trying to steal the flock. And there were others coming in trying to subvert the truth. And Timothy had his hands full. Paul writes him here a little word of encouragement. Timothy, I want you to remember something. In the midst of all of this hardship and difficulty that you face, the trials and the tests, I want you to remember something. Go back to the Scriptures. Go back to the Scriptures. Because they are the thing that was inspired by God, and they are profitable for doctrine, reproof, teaching, encouragement, correction, and conforming you to the complete man of God. obviously, Paul had a great sense of care for his friend Timothy. And it's interesting that he points him to the Scriptures. The simple thing. Go back to the Scriptures, Timothy. For they are God-breathed. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get pulled aside into other things. Go back to the Scriptures. These comments that Paul made to Timothy about the Scriptures are very critical to proper doctrine. At the very basis of Christian truth stands the Scriptures. Their inerrancy, the fact that they were inspired of God, the fact that they are authoritative. Without the Scriptures, we don't know truth. Without the Scriptures, we don't have a fuller understanding and revelation of God. It's in the Scriptures that He has revealed Himself more completely than in any other fashion other than the Lord Jesus Himself. And today I am greatly concerned about the current trend within professing Christendom to depart from the Scriptures and to depart unto other things to study and examine and to bring other materials alongside of the Scriptures as though they might be of equal importance and value. And that we find in the church today a denial of the inspiration and authority of the Scriptures. And you say, how can that be true? I don't believe it. Are you sure? Let me give you just a few clues that I have observed that give me the conclusion that what I have just stated is true. For example, the common method of approach of Bible study in our day follows the following concepts. There is no correction of statements that are made that are not true. Everyone's statements are of equal value. The teacher or the leader of the group is someone who is more a facilitator than a teacher, someone who is there who has the so-called ability to elicit comments from everyone, and after everyone has made their comments, we just kind of proceed and say, oh, wasn't that interesting? Well, that was very nice that you made that comment. Does anyone else have a comment? And we just kind of accept everyone's comment without saying whether their comments were valid or not. Another place where I see it is there is a rejection of the necessity of inspiration. Let me state that again. There is a rejection of the necessity of the inspiration of the Scriptures. We were commenting before we began our study tonight that a lot of what goes under the guise of Bible study is, well, that's my opinion. That's how I think the Scriptures are. And someone else will say, well, that's not my opinion. My opinion is this. And so it's just a matter of opinion. There is no absolute truth. And as a consequence, we are led to believe that there is no absolute truth. And here's the kicker, and that's okay. In fact, that's very godly to have that kind of an accepting attitude towards all men. And it is done at the cost and the price of establishing absolute truth. The Bible has become a guidebook rather than the authoritative Word of God. We also find selective obedience to the Scriptures. If we have somehow waffled on its authority, then it's okay for me to disobey it because I don't believe that's for me. That particular command, that was for someone else. That was for another age. That was for another era. That was for another people. That's not for me. And so thus I can disregard it because it doesn't apply to me, and my opinion has been established as being the only rational basis upon which I can determine the truth. So therefore, we disregard the commands and direction of Scripture, and we substitute reason for the authority of God. Well, I don't want to go on and on and on with that which is false. I want to get to that which is true. But those are just a few of the clues that I have observed that undermine the authority and the inspiration of the Scriptures, a crucial biblical doctrine which we must believe and conform our lives as a consequence to that truth. Well, that's the very thing that Paul sent to his friend Timothy, who was facing difficult times. He said, I want to remind you of something. Continue in that which you have learned from a child, the Scriptures. You were taught them by your mother. You were taught them by your grandmother. I taught them to you. Don't forget the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are inspired of God and they are authoritative. And that's what I want us to look at tonight in our study. Is that foundational doctrine the inspiration and the authority of the Scriptures? You say, well, Tom, that is really elementary. Yes, it is. But just because it's elementary doesn't mean it's unimportant. Because it is important. The very foundational things are, in fact, the most important. If you don't have the foundation laid solidly, that which you build on top of it will fall. It will fail. So yes, it is foundational, and I want us to look at it. You say, well, I know all about that. Good. Then this will serve then as a reminder to you of its importance to adopt and accept the truth of the Scriptures. I just want us to look at some very simple things tonight. The first thing I want you to look at is the fact that the Scriptures are inspired. The second thing I want us to notice is that they are authoritative. And the third thing I want us to look at is what is the consequence of their being authoritative, and how extensive is this inspiration? We'll just take them one at a time, and we'll take a look at them, because Paul presents that nutshell truth to Timothy as he's facing hard times and difficulties. First, I want you to notice that Paul states about the Scriptures very clearly. He says in verse number 16, he says, all Scripture is given by God, by the inspiration of God. Well, that flies in the face of much of what we hear in our day, isn't it? We hear an awful lot about the genius of man. Man is a genius. He has just figured out all kinds of things, and he has even been inspired to write good books and good literature, and the Bible is just one of those. That's how they view inspiration, you know. It's just kind of the common inspiration, as though someone is an inspired athlete or someone is an inspired actor or actress. They just have this motivation within them, and that's how they view the Scriptures. That's how they are, in their eyes, inspired. That it is self-generated. Somehow man came up with some very clever ideas. But that's not the way Paul describes it here. Paul describes it here as Scripture that is given by inspiration. Notice that it's given. That completely rules out man as the source of Scripture. Scripture came from God. It was given. It wasn't something that man developed on his own because he was clever, wise, thoughtful, serious, contemplative. No. The Scriptures were given. God gave them. He gave them through godly men. We read in other Scriptures. We read that in 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe it is. that holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Man was the instrument. Man was the vehicle to whom God gave the Scriptures and through whom He put it into some kind of form that we can have it in our hands. It was given. Notice, secondly, that it was given by God. God gave it. It wasn't an angel. It wasn't some spirit being. It wasn't some apparition. It wasn't the consequence of some man's dream. But it was given by God. So that it gives to us here in those brief few words, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The source of Scripture came from God. It originated with Him. He gave it to us. We notice that it is inspired. That word there means that it was breathed forth. God breathed it forth. So the Scriptures that we have, that we study, that we hold dear, that reveals to us God and His nature, that was given to us by God. It wasn't some human invention, but it was God who gave it to man. Holy men of old, Peter said, spake as they were moved, as they were carried along by God. Human instrument? Yes. Human vehicle? Yes. But let's remember they were just the vehicle and the instrument. Through whom God spoke. Through whom God revealed His word. So the first thing here that Paul reminds Timothy about the Scriptures is remember, they're inspired. They're inspired by God. He gave them. And don't forget that. Second thing I want us to look at in relation to this is the extent. How much of the Scriptures were given of God? Now here again, we hear a very clever phrase presented by the evil one to subvert the truth of God. And it goes like this. I believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. Now at first glance and first blush, that may sound good and acceptable. I believe the Bible contains the Word of God. And in fact, it speaks to me in various places. When I read it, it speaks to me. Sounds very close to the truth, doesn't it? But you see, if it only contains the Word of God, and the Word of God is only that part that speaks to you, you can pick and choose. And you can say, well, this part doesn't contain the Word of God. This part does. And you can disregard a whole other section of Scripture because that part doesn't speak to me. It's always interesting that those parts that don't speak to me are the parts that call upon me to do something in response to God that I don't want to do. And so we have got this attitude spread throughout the professing church that sounds right, but it's false. It's not true. The Bible does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Every bit of it is the Word of God. There isn't one part of it that you can pull out and say, that part is not part of God's Word, and we can pull that part out. There isn't any aspect of the Scriptures to which we can perform that function. We cannot remove any of it. It's all Scripture. Now, that phrase, all Scripture, is very descriptive and very complete. And it's descriptive and complete in this fashion. It literally means every word, every segment, every matter. By matter, I'm meaning like content or issues or ideas that are presented. They're all inspired. Thoroughly, completely. So Paul is writing to Timothy and reminding him, not only is the Scripture inspired of God, but Timothy, remember, it's all Scripture. Every word of Scripture. every unit of Scripture, every matter and subject that is covered is inspired. All of it, thoroughly, completely. And as we read the Old Testament, we read that frequently the writers, in writing their books, if you will, what we call books, the prophets especially, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, and many of the others, as they wrote, they very clearly stated that God revealed unto me this and this and this. And they would then describe and define what it was that God had spoken to them and revealed to them. So they made very clear reference to the fact that it wasn't their idea. It wasn't their invention. It was the truth of God that He had revealed to them that they were then passing on. We also find that the Lord Jesus, in His ministry upon the earth when He was here, that He quoted extensively from the Old Testament. And He made reference to the Old Testament on numerous occasions. One very delightful occurrence that I recall at the moment is on the road to Emmaus. Many of us know that account of the two men after the crucifixion week and the events of the crucifixion of Christ and then the resurrection and the empty tomb. The two men are walking to Emmaus and they're conversing with one another and they're all confused, and the Lord Jesus joins to them, but He doesn't let them know that it's Him. He kind of disguises Himself in some fashion. And as they're talking, they're explaining their confusion and their frustration because they thought that this man who called himself Jesus was the promised Messiah, and they went to the tomb and He wasn't there and He's been crucified and we don't know where He is. And then we read this little verse, and Jesus began at Moses and all of the prophets and began to explain to them things concerning Himself. The Lord Jesus validated every book of the Old Testament. What it taught, what it covered, what it portrayed towards Him, and how He fulfilled the pictures and the prophecies that were presented in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament part of our Scriptures is inspired. Then we come to the New Testament, and there are many people, well, how can you prove the New Testament is inspired? Well, I won't go into all of the proofs, if you will, on the inspiration of the New Testament, but I'll just mention a few things that we know that confirm to us that they are equally inspired of God. First of all, the Lord Jesus in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 told His disciples, He said, there are many more things that I need to tell you, but you're not ready for them right now. But the Holy Spirit, when He comes, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into the truth. He will show it to you. He will reveal it to you. And He will open your eyes to see the fact that it is the truth. We then follow that up with the claim and the statement on the part of all of the apostles, those who wrote the books that we include as part of the New Testament. They declare how they knew that the Spirit of God dwelled and lived within them, and how the Spirit of God ministered through them. Then we follow that with the fact that the apostles were given authority. They were part of that foundation that we were speaking about just a few moments ago. The apostles are part of that foundation. And God gave to them truth and opened their eyes to see truth that they then wrote and explained to other believers in that era when the apostles lived. And they had authority. And they stated that fact, that we are the stewards of God. And God has counted on us to be faithful stewards. And as good stewards, we are passing on the truth that has been given to us. And then we read Peter's claim in 2 Peter, where he declares that the writings of the apostles, especially the writings of the apostle Paul, had equal weight with the Old Testament. And then we find that we read in Hebrews chapter 2 that as the apostles went forth and as those early believers went forth and taught and preached, it says that God confirmed the truth by providing the supernatural confirmation of the declaration of the truth. So, what is the extent of the inspiration of the scriptures? All the scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, every word, every textual unit, every book, every concept that is taught there is inspired of God. Timothy was reminded by his friend and spiritual father, remember the scriptures. They're inspired completely, thoroughly. All of the scriptures, they're inspired. Trust them. Now we come to the third aspect of this inspiration and authority of the scriptures, and that's this: the authority of the scriptures. They're authoritative. They aren't just a good idea. They aren't just something that you might include as part of your overall plan of life, that you might include along with a good psychologist, a good psychiatrist, a good physician, and all of the wise men of our day. Well, they're all helpful, and I do find some encouragement from God's Word. There are times when, you know, when God's Word is just really the most wonderful thing, and other times, you know, it's another writer. So in other words, it's just, you know, the Bible is just one of many books, one of many sources. It's just a guidebook. It will be helpful. Oh, my friend, it is far more than just a good book. It is far more than a book that contains some good ideas. It is of far greater importance and value than, oh, it helps me once in a while. So you see that since the scriptures are inspired by God, they are authoritative. It's God's word to you. It's God's word to me. That surpasses any and every other book you want to name. They are not God. These recount to me and relate to me God in his nature and in his revelation of himself throughout Scripture. At the same time, it reveals to me my nature, how I need Christ, because I have sinned against the Holy God, and Jesus is the only go-between. And without Christ, I'm lost and condemned. You find that in the Scriptures. And all of the Scriptures have authority upon my life and practice. How I live, how I plan, how I treat other people, how I respond to God in obedience and in faith and trust and confidence in Him, how I grow and progress in holiness and spiritual maturity, becoming ever increasingly a complete person in Christ. You see, that's what the Scriptures are. They are authoritative. They tell me what to do. They tell me how to live, how I'm to think, the thoughts that are to consume my mind and my daily living. They're authoritative. And that's mentioned here. Paul says Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. Profitable. And back a few verses before, he says, continue in them. And the Scriptures provide and include frequent reminders to remember the Scriptures, study the Scriptures, give heed to them, obey the Scriptures, follow them, for it is my word to you. Well, the Scriptures are more than just a good book. They're God's word to us, a revelation of himself, as well as direction on how we are to live and how we are to respond to him, the creator of all things. Well, that was Paul's reminder to Timothy. In difficult times, somewhat like many of us, if not all of us, face, we're facing some of those things that Paul described early on in chapter 3, aren't we? We're facing times like that. We know people like that. We have family members that those scriptures describe. And we're living in that time. Well, how am I going to live? Remember, Paul says, the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, that you might be thoroughly furnished, complete in Christ. Well, what can the Spirit of God do with these simple yet valuable truths? First of all, He can refute error. And I pray that the Spirit of God use these truths tonight to help you see that which is false, and to identify it as false, and to know that it is false. That's not the truth. It is error. Along with that, the Spirit of God then is revealing to you the truth, opening your eyes to see that which is truth in contrast and in distinction to that which is false. Say, here's the truth. Here's the truth. And the third thing the Spirit of God can do then along with that is open our eyes to see then what are the implications of the truth. I'll just mention a couple of them. First of all, an implication of the truth is you have to reject that which is false. Identify it and reject it. That's not true. The Bible is not just a good book. It's authoritative. It is God's word to me. It is more than just one that contains the word of God. It is the word of God. It was given by inspiration. It wasn't developed and inspired and somehow invented by a group of men who put all this massive scheme together over thousands of years. No. It's God's word. And we reject that which is false, and we believe and obey that which is true. And we conform our lives to the truth. And we make it the direction for our lives. The fourth thing the Spirit of God can do with these truths is He can reassure us. You say, Tom, you've told me some things that I know. Good. Good. Did it reassure you? Did it remind you of that which is true? To hold to it, to cling to it, to not forsake it, to find greater value in it now that you've been reassured that it is the truth, and the Spirit of God has reminded you, yes, you have believed it. That is the truth. You are believing the truth. And there is great comfort in that and reassurance in that. That is the truth. Because there are times, let's be honest, there are times when we are facing difficulties that those questions flash across our minds. Have I believed something that is really stupid? Have I followed something that is really just very cleverly all put together? Have I followed this just because I grew up in a Christian home and my mom and dad told me about it? Or is this really the truth? And then when the Spirit of God reassures you in your mind and heart that this is the truth, there's comfort in that. There's encouragement in that. There's strengthening in that. There's renewed desire to pursue after the truth and to conform your life to the truth, to believe it and to obey it. The fifth thing the Spirit of God can do is He can rebuke you. That's what it says right there. It's profitable for rebuke. Well, that part we don't like, is it? Oh, but there's profit in rebuke. There's profit in correction. Thank God that you had a mom and a dad who told you it was dangerous to put your hand on a hot burner. Thank God you had a mom and a dad who said don't run out in the street in front of cars. And various other things where they protected you. And they corrected you and said, don't do that. You'll injure yourself. Well, I didn't hurt myself this time. No, this time you didn't. But it is dangerous. Don't do that. They protected you. And that's what God's word does. It rebukes us. It corrects us for our good. It protects us from that which is evil. Protects us from the false way that we might enjoy God's presence and direction in our lives. So He can rebuke us. But when He does rebuke us, the Spirit of God then wants to take that rebuke and reform us, correct us, change us, bring us to repentance, and revive us, renew us, strengthen us. Well, what will you do with the truth? What changes do you need to make in your life because of the truth? Do you read your Bible? Do you? Do you read it? Do you examine it? Do you study it? What does that mean? And then you kind of pursue it a little bit? That's God's word. That's God's word to you. He wants to communicate to you. And one of the ways in which God communicates to us is through His word. Read it. Study it. Examine it. Live by it. Practice it. Obey it. Trust it. I pray that you will. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us this word, the scriptures. And in it you have revealed yourself to us in many, many ways. You've shown to us your grace, your mercy, your justice, your long-suffering and patience, your omnipotence, your omniscience, and oh, so many things about your nature. Thank you. For by reading it and studying it, examining it, we can know more about you and understand you in greater depth. And in understanding you, have greater trust and confidence in you and believe you and trust you. And I pray that tonight, through your Holy Spirit, you will have not only opened our eyes to see the truth, but reminded us and reassured us of that truth, that it might make an impact upon us, that we will conform our lives to that truth, to obey it, to believe it, and thus grow and mature to complete men and women in Christ. And we will give you honor and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the work that you produce in our lives with the truth.